Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Andrew Lockwood joins Lex Thomas for today's Taste of Premier as they discuss the Microsoft Client Lifecycle Enterprise Management Tool. Tune in for this demo as they show us how it can help better align all aspects of IT operations into a more cohesive and efficient unit. Lex, the mic is yours.
Hey guys, and thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Taste of Premier. Hang on just a second. Yes, that was me drinking out of a glass. I'm actually on vacation, and I don't know if you can see it or not, but there's a beach out there. I'm doing this from the living room of a condo on a beach. Isn't Microsoft technology cool? So this week we're going to talk about the Microsoft Client Lifecycle Management Tool, CLEM, and my special guest is Andrew Lockwood. But before we get into that, there is some news. I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's this new Microsoft product coming out called the Surface. I'm not allowed to really dig too deep into it, but I will show you the Surface spec sheet at the end of the show, and there is a little Surface video that we're going to play for you. So if you haven't heard about it, go to www.surface.com and dig in. It's pretty cool. Andrew, how you doing?
Hi there, Lex. How thanks? Very jealous of you done that.
Well, you know, for 50 weeks out of the year, I'm not here, so don't be too jealous.
Yeah, okay.
yeah. But it is fun, and I am. And the only bad thing is that I get here, right? Yesterday, I got here. Yesterday was gorgeous. Today, you know, overcast, and it looked like, you know, it looks like it's going to rain. And then we've got rain forecast, I think, every day for the next, like, 4 days. So, anyway, how you doing, and how long have you been at Microsoft?
Been up here about 6 years. Been bouncing around on the services side, doing various roles from a consultant now into a project manager, and always specializing in operations and operating system deployments.
Yeah, cool. Well, I know that one of the big issues that that we always run into that I think your tool actually helps us solve is the lifecycle management piece, right? Customers are constantly getting sending emails to me as a TAM, and I'm having to remind them constantly that there are products that, you know, have limited life cycles that are, you know, going to expire soon, you know, and so that's always a big deal. And so I understand you have a solution to that.
Yes, and not only does it say that the life cycle could expire, but it also pulls all those applications together so that you've got an understanding about what's ready for the next wave of operating systems, what needs to be worked on still, and to really be able to define exactly how many of the questions are revolving in lifecycle, licensing, or the users can be addressed through this through the tool.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to turn it over to you for a few minutes and show us what you got.
Cool. Well, I've got a PowerPoint, so let me just get that going. So, Lex, the subject of the PowerPoint is to cover how do you get all the advances that we've seen on the commercial side, the consumer side, into the enterprise environment, where you may want to have users being able to empower themselves and move forward with self-service and getting their data wherever they need to go. So the deck here is really to show what's the back end that needs to be aligned, and how do you track the metrics and the applications within that.
Cool. So anybody can get this? Can customers get this tool?
So this will be available in the next version of the Application Compatibility Toolkit. And it's just a simple SharePoint SharePoint site. It's no custom code is put in there. And the idea is that each person can take it and then extend it to their particular environments. Some people may want to track certain attributes of the lifecycle. Other people want to track more than we've got in here. But I've got about 152 data points that show that are generally a key to being able to define how applications are getting ready and being retired and in the enterprise.
Cool.
So to be very simple about what we're trying to do here is how do we align all the IT operations, the procurement, the licensing, the packaging, the testing, the accreditation, the Q&A, the functional testing, you know, release management, the operations, the retirement of an application. How do we get a handle around all of that data so that if we were to move to the next version of Windows or the next version of Office, we can actually see that all the other applications that are dependent on the legacy version may be ready for the next version, or when we change maybe one of the component like IE to IE10 or IE9 or Java, what are the dependencies that might come with that? And where are the licenses and where is the use that is occurring around the applications? And how can we do that in the most effective, efficient, and cost-effective way for the enterprise? So The secret is to start breaking down the monolith. Images up till now have been people have sort of thought of them as static, and one image, one department might have an image, and another department have an image. When you have things like that, your regression testing becomes very slow, very, very difficult to maintain and keep agile. So we've got technologies out there, the MDT and SCCM, are using things like configuration manager, using things like the WIM, the Windows image format, to be able to capture static core sections, components, and then you can build up from there depending on what the user is going to need to have. So we would generally think about having a core, and then the user or the standard desktop would get a baseline, and then each user would actually have individual components within there, especially if you could go to an isolated application environment where these applications don't overstep each other so that they could be running simultaneously but in isolation. So you could have two versions of Java running at the same time. So if you can manage to do that and then manage to focus that on the user, not targeting the computers, target the users, you can suddenly be able to get much more granular and much more provide the user with ability to choose the applications that they need to maintain productivity within their workspace. So I just put this up here to give an idea of how the object of CLEM is to track each of these blobs, each of these components within the monolithic, within the stack of the client. And I've been very careful not to mention what the OS is. The OS is just a module. Needs to be, this tool will help you track, and so when you go from one service pack to another, or perhaps from one version to the other, so long as the baseline is stayed the same, these things up here will still continue to work. But it allows that move from one OS to the other and be able to track it so that you can still maintain the productivity of your workers. All right. So very quickly, what we're going to do is we're going to try and crunch down the number of applications you have in the environment. I've been to environments that have 90,000 applications, which becomes totally unmanageable, down to a manageable 2,000 that then become available in a catalog that people can go and request and automatically pull down those applications for them. And those applications would then, if they're needing to go through some approval process because of licensing or because it's a restricted application, that self-service portal would have all that built into the back end.
I see. So this is a tool that they run locally and pulls data down from our back end.
No, this is a tool that rides on top of all the other systems that would be in place in their environment. But it provides a one-stop shop for viewing what's happening. So I've got a demo. So let's just let me just go through a few of the steps beforehand. But the demo will actually give you that 10,000 foot view of what's happening in each of the processes that go on in an organization.
Okay. That sounds awesome.
All right. So what we just need to do here is show few things about the tool. First of all, it's completely extensible. It integrates with ITIL, so it works with the current process. It's just out-of-the-box SharePoint components, but they've been put together so that you get this overview. And out of the box, I've identified about 10 standard phases that occur in an environment. People generally have a discovery. Maybe someone's pitching an idea for this application, or you've discovered it through an audit from your previous previous operating system, and you just want to go through things. And then most applications go through a quick little stage of, do I really want to support 5 or 6 or 10 compression utilities? Perhaps only 2 are needed in the environment. So there's a phase here that there's some strategic decision that this application is going to be a supported application rather than, well, yeah, I use it at home, so I want to have it at work. There's some enterprise strategic decision point there. After that, you're going to need to find out what the license keys are, who would be the testers to make sure that when this application goes out, it actually does meet the function. What would be the life cycle timeline? Is it 3 years, 5 years? Perhaps it's a replacement of an old application. So all these dependencies and this information is cataloged and grabbed at this stage 2 phase. But phase 3 is then just packaging it so that we can create this isolated application that a user can then request from the catalog, and it just comes down to them in a matter of minutes, so that then they can start being productive. And then before we go hit the production environment, we just want to make sure that that's the point where we actually check that it's a safe environment, it's a safe product. Maybe there's some CNA details that need to be filled out. And so we just have a pause before it goes into the production environment and test it's healthy for that. Stage 5 would be provisioning the catalog ready for the functional testers that we have identified in stage 2 to go and test and hammer away at this product to see that it really does meet requirements, particularly when you're doing an upgrade of something. Does the new version really do what the old version did? Does it meet the requirements? Or have we dropped something in when we packaged it that needs to be put in there? So it gives that double check that functionally it does meet what we're trying to do, the need of the business for productivity sake. And then we wait for the release. If you're thinking about this, I mean, these releases could be an actual new OS, a service pack, or it could just be a very simple update of a current application. And then it sits in stage 8, which is the operative phase of the life cycle, where users can now freely go and request these applications. And if you're using a product like Application Virtualization, AppV, it's just a simple matter of getting some workflow around there to add their user account into that AD group, and they get the application within a matter of minutes. And then another phase is, how do we retire something or update a version X with X.1, and that's that phase of how do we go from retiring an application is also captured. So let me go on to the demo. So as I said, the TEM tool comes in 2 versions because basically it's just standard SharePoint tools, and we've got a 2007 version, which I'm showing you now, and a 2010. And what we need to sort of think about is the number associated here at the phase 0 is how many applications are currently in that stage of their life. We go down a bit more and we see that we've got quite a few applications that are already in operations, but quite a few are still in the logistic phase, just waiting for people to hand the media over to the packages so that they can be quickly deployed. This organization have been pretty good. They've actually packaged all those applications. There's no stage 3, but there's one waiting for the CNA guys to come through and push it down. So when we look at these applications, if I pull them up, we can see here that let's put out this one as an example. In the data points, this is a phase two data. These are the data points that we're looking to capture in the logistics phase of the life cycle. What's the build-in time? The license key? Has the media been collected? Or where is the media to be found, so that the people doing the packaging are not spending time to do this, and that'll hit their SLAs, their performances. And this is data that should have been collected before someone requests an application to be packaged. This is standard stuff. I can then go through and show you each of the other phases, and they all have different data points that need to be captured and showing what's being required, either for completion of the documentation at that phase, or it may be data that's required for people to work their phase further down the life cycle. So as I go through this, there's about 150 of these applications, but here we can show the functional testing, how the functional testers would actually feedback in their comments on this one application that's being released. And so we'd have some UAT, some user acceptance testing, specific data, and this would be specific to that application. If you want to make sure, the definition is this application needs to be able to reconcile the quarterly numbers and provide a graph. That would be the specific test that the application would need to do, although it may be doing a whole lot of other ones. This is the one that people have decided is the key, or the several key tests to pass their user acceptance test. We have some standard testing down here, and again, it shows whether we've managed to pass, fail, or succeed. So the idea is that I'll go back to the top level, as you go working through these applications, you're able to see at what level the application is and whether it's ready for prime time or not. So if you're moving to Windows 7 or Windows 8 in the future, we can actually look and see, yes, there's a column in here which we're not seeing. It's compatible. The platform it works on is Windows 7 or Windows 8, or maybe we're looking at a phone app. It could be an HTML5 application. So we can capture all of these characteristics and be able to test them and produce a view of what applications are ready for each platform that we might be looking at.
That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, and we've seen some huge advances. So I've got now moving to the 2010 version. We've seen some. We've got a graph here. Instead of just looking at the numbers, we can actually show some data here. I've got this is blank. So if I go in and have a look and show you what's in the stage one data fields, we'll see that Windows 7, if I go and have a look and edit those data fields, again, we've got this feeling of each of the phases have their own data points. And we can start defining, and this is completely customizable. So we're looking here that, we can have a Windows 8 32-bit, and is that application also HTML5? And then you can see whether it's the browser platform also can be categorized. So when you start looking at a group of users who you're perhaps targeting for the next operating system, you can actually check on here to see whether all their applications are actually now compatible. At the bottom here, we can actually see what the business need and who is requesting this. So we can start targeting through this tool, identifying the areas that are now ready for the next OS. This is primarily developed from a project deploying new operating systems perspective. But if this is maintained, it makes the life cycle and the next iteration change that much easier, because you've collected all the data and you can start having a continual process to get all your applications ready.
Yeah, so that's really cool. It just looks like it's a great way for customers to manage product life cycle, and certainly will make things easier. I know that it will for my customer.
The other bit, which also helps the actual people who create the baselines, is that once you've got all these individual bricks, because they're going through the process, you can start pulling them together and identifying that the November version, this is actually September I'm looking at, the September version of the baseline has these applications in them. And then just simply clicking through here will take you to the information of that application. You'll be able to see the actual details of that application, how it was packaged, where it was, the license keys, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of intermeshing here that has reduced the documentation burden that people are needing as they manage the client side.
Yeah, that's cool. That's freaking awesome. That's really neat, man. My customer is going to eat that up. I know that at least in PubSec, I think, you know, most customers need a tool like this, and I'm sure that, you know, there's huge value throughout Premier for it.
Yeah, and what we found, the other advantage is that we start cataloging things like, you know, an application from a user's perspective. It doesn't necessarily mean to be that it's an install something, it's installed on their desktop. It could just as easily be a web tool or an access database on a network share. But those things all have dependencies, either on the browser or the version of Office that they're running. We try and capture all of that, and we make sure that in the development phase, which is when we package that application, we can actually capture the applications that are dependent on it or that is dependent on. So we've got those links in, and then we can go out and test these second level applications to make sure when we change one, the other ones still work.
Yep. Very cool.
Yeah. So that's it in a nutshell. There's a spreadsheet that actually documents how many applications, how many columns there are. At the moment, I'm up to about 152. We can actually identify we can start doing some forecasting to see how quickly applications can be pushed through and be made ready. And this is all cataloged in the next version of the application compatibility toolkit.
Hey, Andrew, is there some place a customer can go to get more information about this after the podcast?
Yes, well, they can certainly try and contact me or yourself, but it's part of the next version of the Application Compatibility Toolkit, and that will be coming out shortly, and we'll be able to give you some more details at that time.
Awesome. And so if anybody out there has any questions in the meantime, feel free to email topp@microsoft.com. That's topp@microsoft.com. And I'll either be able to answer the question for you directly, or I'll forward the answer over to the question over to Andrew, and I'll get him to answer it for you. So if you have any questions, feel free to shoot us an email. We'll be glad to cover that. So the next thing that I'd like to talk about is the Surface. Hey guys, this is Lex, and at the beginning of the show, we promised that we'd give you some just baseline information on the Surface. Again, this is something that we just announced, and it's pretty freaking cool. The Surface will ship in two different flavors. We've got the Windows RT version and the Windows 8 Pro version. The Windows RT version is the lighter, thinner version. Actually comes with Office Home and Student. It comes with the touch cover and the type cover. And I'll show you a video here in just a second, and you'll see how cool the cover actually is, because with the Surface, when you pull the cover down, it actually becomes the keyboard for the device. So that's just awesome. I actually personally own a Samsung Series 7 tablet that I've been running Office 8 on for a while, and you guys, if you're listeners or watchers of the podcast, you've actually seen it in action a couple of times. I've pulled it up on some of the earlier shows, and I've actually recorded a show using it, which hasn't aired yet, but should air soon. Sorry. I think some of the cooler features are the high-definition display, really good. If it looks anything like the display on mine, it's going to be really cool. And the other thing that I notice here in the spec sheet is the Windows RT comes with a micro SD slot, but the Windows 8 Pro version comes with a micro SDSC slot. And so if you're not familiar with the difference between micro SD and micro SDHC, micro SD has a 32 gig size limit. Micro SDXC actually has a 2 terabyte limit. And so 2 terabytes is actually a heck of a lot of space to fit on a little tiny memory card. But I haven't seen any of the 2 terabytes out there. I actually do own a 64 gig MicroSDXC, so I'm very excited about that. I could actually put my entire video and audio library on a little microSD card, plug it into the Surface, and not have to take up valuable hard drive space with that. So speaking of hard drive space, the RT version, it looks like it's going to come with a 32 gig or a 64 gig option, and the Windows 8 Pro version has a 64 gig option or 128 gig option. So that's it. I can't really talk about it any more in depth than that. This is the stuff that's publicly available. Again, if you have any additional questions or you want to learn more about the Surface, www.surface.com. And we've got a little video for you to watch. That's it for this show. So again, I'd like to thank my guest, Andrew Lockwood. Andrew, great show. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this for us today. I know we kind of pulled you in at the last second. I really appreciate you being available to do it.
Thanks. My pleasure, Lex.
Yep. Well, guys, that's your Taste of Premiere.